I'm Betty Lou, and this is In the Loop.
Have you felt that you've learned anything new about the crisis?
Are you confident that you're able to grow the top line?
Are we taking on too much?
Now, I've got to ask these questions because that is what people want to know.
In the Loop, weekdays, 8 a.m. on Bloomberg Television.
It's time for the Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes.
Always good to be here on the Hayes Advantage with you folks. Yeah, General Ehrlichman in for Kathleen Hayes today. And boy, what a day to be in. I'm telling you. Of course, the big story is that jobs report. The economy shedding 95,000 jobs. For some reaction to the jobs report, what it tells us about where we are and the economic outlook, I'm joined by Mike England on the phone with Action Economics. Mike, it's always good to talk with you. And let's start with your reaction when you saw these headlines this morning.
Well, there's no doubt that the non-farm payroll headline is what captured the media's attention in the first couple of minutes of reviewing the report. It's hard to miss the large headline drop of 95,000 in employment. However, when you look at the breakdown, what we found was that government employment outside of census employment, local government employment in particular, fell 76,000, a pretty dramatic drop. Though that particular series is pretty erratic, and especially in July and September of each year, can be thrown off by swings in seasonal hiring of teachers coming into and out of the summer. And you know, economists tend to discount those numbers. If you look at the back revisions, but back revisions were in government as well. So even though the headline was a 95,000K drop with a 15,000K downward revision to July and August, if you look into private employment, it was up 64,000 in the last 2 months, were revised up 36,000.
Yeah.
So the climb in private payrolls actually beat just about everyone's estimates. And most of the rest of the data was pretty much as expected, the unemployment rate, the work week and such.
All right. So you just hit on three or four big topics there. One is that government jobs were lost. Some of that had to do with hiring and loss of jobs for teachers. Another factor out there that there are revisions that the Department of Labor basically compiles over the course of the year where they maybe made a few errors, and they've come up with a number which, what is, it's north of 350,000 fewer jobs than they thought, you know, at the beginning of the year. And then we've got the private sector payroll job creation and the unemployment rate ticking down. Out of everything you just highlighted, what is, say, the most important number as we head into this November election period?
Well, you know, I think for the elections, the public is going to be pretty focused on the level of unemployment and the degree of slackness in the labor market. And there really was little hope that today's report was going to really change the overall outlook. The White House probably benefited from the fact that the unemployment rate didn't tick up, which has been an ongoing problem. But as long as payrolls continue to fall, and that'll certainly capture the headlines, that's going to be the story people are going to be looking at through the next month. And unfortunately for the White House, the next employment report, which will be the first one clean of census impacts, and we expect a gain in payrolls. I think most people will be looking for a 50 to 100,000 rise. Is going to come out a couple of days after the election. So I think this is probably a worst case scenario from a political standpoint. And I think it's also the case that the sort of dove hawk debate at the Fed is largely going to be exacerbated because the decline in payrolls is certainly fueling the dove's notion that the Fed has to do more. Whereas the stronger outlook in some of the private statistics that show slow but positive growth are just going to reinforce the hawks' notion that perhaps the Fed should wait.
Sure, and we've seen that debate play out in the markets as well. You mentioned the unemployment rate maybe being a short-term win for the White House, but does the average American, and we can assume based on some of the recent polls, that they look at the unemployment rate and they very much factor that into their voting. Does the average American really change their opinion at an unemployment rate at 9.6% versus 9.9%?
Well, yes, and I think it is the case that it really was no unemployment rate today that was going to make the public in general happy.
Right.
I think one way of looking at this is levels versus flows. Economists look at flows, and generally in the timing the business cycle, for instance, most economists are happy with the claim that June of last year was the bottom in the cycle. That's because they're looking at the directional path for the economy, but the public at large wants to see the level. And economic activity is at a depressed level. That's why we have a high unemployment rate, and it's probably going to be years before we get back to the kind of tight labor markets we were used to just a couple of years ago.
We're talking to Mike England of Action Economics. Mike, before we go to break, the expectation is that we could see more stimulus from the Federal Reserve. And obviously, that's not just free money. There's a hope that that money will do things for the economy. Do you think big business right now is looking, reading the headlines, and expecting that stimulus and thinking, if it comes, we'll hire more people?
Well, you know, I think you're kind of hitting right on what the issue is. I think from the Fed standpoint, the doves believe that by acquiring these treasuries, they'll lower yields and improve the business environment. But I think it's the case that the hawks also capture a perception among a chunk of the electorate and of the public at large that the more the Fed continues to hoard these treasuries, the deeper the hole we're digging and the greater the fiscal problems we're going to have going forward. I'm not sure business on average likes the idea of quantitative easing, though certainly bond traders and people betting in the stock market do.
All right, Mike, stay with us. It's Mike England of Action Economics. I'm John Ehrlichman here on the Hayes Advantage on Bloomberg Radio, in for Kathleen Hayes. We're back with Mike in a couple minutes. More on the economy. Mike, there are a lot of moving parts in this jobs report today. And on the one hand, we did see some private sector jobs hold up, 64,000 jobs. On the other hand, the wage picture, wages stagnated. And at a time when we're talking about more stimulus for the Federal Reserve, the fact that we're not seeing wage growth raises the question of whether or not more stimulus will get the consumer going. Where do you weigh in on that?
Well, you know, I think the wage numbers are going to weigh on the economy probably for years to come, given the lagged relationship between slack and the unemployment rate and wage growth and the fact that we have such a high unemployment rate now. So I think we're going to see essentially labor or cost push pressures from the labor side of the equation really non-existent going forward. It's why many people perceive that we have relatively little inflation problem. Unfortunately, the commodity markets globally are booming, and we've seen a particularly large run-up in commodity prices over the last few weeks as people look ahead to QE2 and what the implications are for the dollar. And that's, of course, problematic for the economy. I'm not sure where perception is going to fall in this. And it's interesting, going into an election season, we have the left-right debate heating up perhaps more than it ever has. But we also have this hawk-dove debate heating up. And the one real empirical question is, among business leaders and among people who drive the economy and consumers and business equipment buyers, where do they fall along this hawk-dove spectrum or the left-right spectrum? Is these different efforts by government on net a positive for perception or a negative? I think the risk is that we are probably spooking more people than we're encouraging each time we take another round at an attempt to fix the economy, and that has aggravated some of these problems like the falling dollar and rising commodity prices.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because in the stock market, some people say gridlock, if we get it in the elections in November, could be good for stocks. On the other hand, some Wall Street strategists have brought down their expectations for where the market's going to end the year because they think people are factoring in the reality of higher taxes. Next year, they're already thinking about it, regardless of what happens in November.
Well, I think those are certainly competing pressures, and there's also the old adage, don't fight the Fed. And I think a lot of the gains we've seen in the market recently is this notion that because some members of the FOMC are pushing so aggressively for a QE2 strategy that it's a fait accompli, and I think no one wants to be short on the day the Fed announces its plan.
Does Ben Bernanke, the Fed Reserve Chair, need to have more private conversations with those who are speaking out? I mean, is everything under control at the Fed, given these strong, outspoken views right now?
Well, you know, it probably is the case that there may be some underrepresentation by business at the FOMC, not only at the White House, but also at the Fed. We have an unusually large percentage of people who are not in the business community, who are academics, lawyers, who are people that have really operated on the policy side of the equation. And it might perhaps be useful for the Fed to incorporate maybe some more feedback from business. Ultimately, it's business confidence that we're going to need to boost if we're going to get back to job creation and faster growth in the economy. And it's not clear that a lot of the actions that are being undertaken are ones that tend to make small business owners happier as opposed to more scared.
Well, you just said that it seems as if more stimulus from the Fed is baked into the stock market. What's a comparable to what's going on right now? The expectations in the market, which are so strong on this stimulus issue, and the Fed hasn't pulled the trigger officially yet.
Well, I think at the end of the day, people like Ben Bernanke that have a lot of economic training going into this decision, even though they may think they're boosting perceptions or confidence by engaging in these policies, see the more mixed implications it has in theory. You know, it's hard to argue that the Fed is going to ultimately change yields on bonds by buying securities. Certainly during that period of purchase, they're going to drive the price up. It's much like the debate over sterilized intervention in the foreign exchange markets. It used to be central banks would buy currencies to try to support them. But if they don't change domestic policy, policies, generally the rates tend to bounce right back afterward. Most currency market participants realize that, and by and large, most academics admit that sterilized intervention doesn't work. Really, what the Fed's doing on the Treasury front is very much like a sterilized intervention. During the period of purchase, they'll probably drive up the price of Treasuries, but will they fall back below where they would have been otherwise once the Fed purchases are done? I think that's an important question for Bernanke and one he's probably grappling with.
So that's one of the bigger reasons why we're seeing this debate take place at the Fed. At the end of the day, when do you think a final decision will be made? When will we hear something or never hear anything?
Oh, we think it's probably going to be at the next meeting. People keep looking for something to occur before then, but we think there's going to be enough opposition from the hawks that they're going to want to have their day in court at that FOMC meeting. It does appear the doves are carrying the day rhetorically. They seem to have more passion on their side. And so our guess is that the hawks will capitulate. We may see some dissents, of course, and I think a real issue that's going to come up after the November meeting is a rotation of voters at the FOMC in January. We're going to have more hawks, and it'll be interesting to see if we have somewhat of a revolt to QE2 once we get into the new year.
Let's come back to the job story for a second. You highlighted that there was weakness in the government employment picture, teachers, etc. Look, state by state, there are budgets that are a nightmare right now. What does that mean for jobs for state employees going forward, and how does that affect the jobs picture going forward?
Well, I think we're not going to see much relief in job creation from the government side anytime soon. It's ironic, coming off a period with massive stimulus plans. You might think there'd be a considerable amount of government hires in the pipeline. A lot of that stimulus activity, however, were transfer payments that don't directly create jobs. And we are looking for the government sector to weigh on payroll growth. Fortunately, the government sector is a small part of the economy. So if we can boost confidence in the rest of the economy, government employment as of September is 22 million. Total employment's 130 million. So that is going to be an Achilles heel for the economy, but it's really perception in the private sector that will drive the path for payrolls.
You highlighted that there's commodity prices that are rising. Good news if you're producing commodities. In the manufacturing space, it seems as if there's flexibility for companies, you know, when we talk about whether they can keep growing their earnings. If the top line isn't strong, well, they can eliminate costs somewhere, or they can decide not to buy that extra plant because they've got room in the manufacturing facility that they're using right now. But for the big chunk of the economy that tied directly to the consumer, certainly the end of the year is going to be an important period. It's typically a make or break period, holiday sales, that kind of stuff. I guess what I'm asking is, what are your expectations for retail spending this holiday season and how that affects the job story?
Well, we are looking for year-over-year gains in holiday sales this year, probably in the 3% area, which may sound encouraging, but it's largely because we've had two disastrous Christmases back-to-back, so the level of November and December sales has really dug itself into a deep hole that we're probably going to climb out of. I think as long as we get the holiday sales in that area, though, we're really not going to see the household sector fueling the economy. What we're looking at is a pattern for consumption growth, pretty much consistent with 2.5% to 3% consumption and GDP growth into the new year, nothing like what you normally see in the second year of an expansion.
All right, good stuff. Mike, always good to get your take. That's Mike Englund of Action Economics on the job story.
Copyright Bloomberg LP 2010.